it this year. The truth is, it's not about the lights. It's about creating the memories. It's about seeing the kids' faces light up and not spending all day hanging up lights. I'm Aaron King, the owner of Slow Holiday Lights. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. We design, install, maintain, and store the beautiful Christmas lights so you don't have to lift a finger. No ladders to fall off of, no tangled lights to mess with, no stress, period. Look us up at slowholidaylights.com.
This is Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We are family owned and operated, and we treat every vehicle like it's our own. Every repair comes with a 3-year, 36,000 mile nationwide warranty. We offer complimentary Ubers and a hand wash with every service. Need a lift? We offer free local towing too. At Shifting Gears, we believe in honest work, quality service, and getting you back on the road fast, because we're ready to serve you next. Give us a call at 805-238-6202 or stop on by at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Penix Jr. is headed to injured reserve after suffering a knee injury in yesterday's loss to Carolina. Kirk Cousins will now take over the starting duties for the Falcons. Penix has a bone bruise and damage to his ACL. ESPN says that Penix isn't expected to return to play this season. Falcons wide receiver Drake London has a PCL sprain in his knee. He's out for Week 12. While the Jets are making a change at quarterback, Tyrod Taylor starts in Week 12 against the Ravens, replacing Justin Fields, according to The Athletic. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud remains in concussion protocol. He didn't practice today in advance of their Thursday matchup with the Bills. Green Bay Packers running back Josh Jacobs is considered week-to-week, but his knee injury is not considered to be a season-ending injury. And Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson suffered a Lisfranc injury in his foot in a win over the Lions. LeBron James back at practice for the Lakers today. Sixers forward Paul George to make his season debut tonight.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Orlando Lakes and Microsoft announced a multi-year strategic plan marking a new chapter in their shared commitment to agriculture innovation. Building on 5 years of successful collaboration, the alliance will focus on co-developing AI-powered tools, including a digital assistant called Oz. Oz is built on models with Azure AI Foundry and uses Land O'Lakes agricultural data to help farmers make informed decisions aimed to optimize operation, maximize yield, and mitigate risk. Well, House Committee on Ag Chair G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania expressed his relief after the vote to reopen the federal government. But Thompson says there's no question this shutdown inflicted unnecessary pain on farm families, rural communities, and those who depend on critical USDA services. Now, he says, extending the current farm bill will give us time to finalize Farm Bill 2.0, a bipartisan package that builds on the One Big Beautiful Bill. Chinese purchases of soybeans from the U.S. appear to have stalled just 2 weeks after the U.S. touted a wide-ranging trade truce between the two countries. Bloomberg reports traders who asked not to be identified said they were not aware of any new shipments, and the pause is causing significant uncertainty. StoneX reports Singapore insiders say many experts view China's commitment to be more of a diplomatic gesture than a firm agreement.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us. They'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are losing steam in afternoon trading as investors continue to worry about future interest rate cuts and lofty AI valuations. This week, AI darling Nvidia and retail giants like Walmart and Target, among others, will be reporting quarterly results. Also, the September jobs report will be released on Thursday morning. The data has been delayed due to the government shutdown. And shares of the biggest U.S. airlines like Delta, United, and American are moving lower after the FAA said it was removing flight restrictions, with the federal government shutdown now being over. Bitcoin is trading below $94,000 a token, its lowest level since early May. Its record price was over $126,000, which was notched in early October. Shares of Netflix are down nearly 1% as the streaming giant's 10-for-1 stock split takes effect. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If your cash is sitting in a savings account, it's at risk. Old school advice says save more, but today the strategy is broken. When inflation spikes, they print money or cut rates, your dollar shrinks. So do your savings. The solution? Own something real. Physical gold and silver. When the dollar drops, gold and silver prices rise. And with Noble Gold, owning gold is simple. Just visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The knowledge is free. The protection is priceless. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL, brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Letters to the editor don't get picked up by the newswires. Maybe sometimes they should. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
In these times when so many of us have a tendency to lose faith in ourselves, it's good now and then to be reminded of the good-natured, generous spirit that's been an American characteristic for as long as there's been an America. Not too long ago, such a reminder came in the form of a letter to the editor, and I thought you might like to hear about it. The writer was a refugee from South Vietnam, but he was American, not Vietnamese, a clergyman. I suppose a missionary, although I can't vouch for that. The Reverend described a 20-foot craft adrift in the Gulf of Thailand with no fuel, no food, no water, barely afloat and sinking with its cargo of 82 refugees. Towering over it was the aircraft carrier, the USS Midway. The Reverend described the Midway as tired. It had already deposited some 2,000 refugees on other ships, refugees who had arrived in more than 500 flights. One flight was a light observation plane not designed for carrier landings. The Midway had to move up to top speed to enable the pilot to land with an entire family jammed inside the tiny fuselage. There were 40 choppers on the deck, brand new F-5E fighters and A-37s that had carried people who preferred not to be liberated by the communists. The Midway also carried a sign the crew had made that read, "Welcome Refugees." So they picked up the 82 who were begging to be taken aboard. Once on board, they had one question. Would they be handed over to an unfriendly government, perhaps to be eventually murdered? The executive officer of the ship told them this would not happen. He said, "Our job is to make you as comfortable as possible, heal the sick, and feed you to your heart's content." That was the official policy of our nation, and therefore of the Midway. How was it carried out? Well, according to the Reverend, the sick were cared for. A tiny baby with double pneumonia was cured. People without clothes were given American clothing. Sailors took the old clothing and washed them for their guests. Pretty soon, homeless children were being given piggyback rides on the shoulders of American seamen. And Navy T-shirts bearing the Midway decal began appearing in the little ones. The tragedy they'd been through hung heavily on the adults, of course. So the sailors planned entertainment for them. But let the Reverend tell it. Quote, "Different Navy groups collected money. Ads went into the ship's paper asking for toys. Charity begot more charity. There is a motto on the Midway. The Midway puts it together. For the grateful refugees, that's the understatement of the year." Unquote. In the dark days right after World War II, when our industrial power and military might were all that stood between a war-ravaged world and a return to the Dark Ages, Pope Pius XII said, "America has a genius for great and unselfish deeds. Into the hands of America, God has placed the destiny of an afflicted mankind." I think those young men in the Midway have reassured God that he hasn't given us more of an assignment than we can handle. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, at Chumash Casino Resort, we're giving away over $600,000 in cash and prizes. It's everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawings every Sunday in November. Need more details? Visit ChumashCasino.com. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will in studio with our special guest, Administrator Fire Captain from the City of Paso Robles, Ross Porter. Ross, thanks for coming back again.
Thank you for having me.
And before we get going on the time of the season, can you tell the folks exactly what the responsibilities are that you have as the administrative fire captain here in Paso Robles?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a unique position that I have here in Paso Robles Fire Department. I'm in the office now after spending 30 years on a fire engine. Now I'm in an office and literally have about 46 things that I'm responsible for, everything from the AEDs in the city to basically my job is considered CRR, or that stands for community risk reduction. So anything that is in the community that is a risk to the community or the responders is well within my wheelhouse. So I work on things that reduce risk for the community as well as reduce risk for the fire department and police department.
Are there things, is part of your responsibility with some perhaps recommendations to either the chief through the department to present to either the city manager or the city council?
To some degree. A lot of it is knowledge within the fire world, but mainly I do a little bit of that, but mainly it's for the public. So I do presentations all over town for different groups, do training, all kinds of stuff like that.
There are certain professions where one would call that they're seasonal, that, you know, it's a heavy time of the year for, we'll just use, since we're coming up the end of the year, we would say accountants, CPAs, those type of things, where, okay, this is crunch time. Is there a lesser time in the fire profession where it's not as, you know, because we hear fire season, and people think, well, just, you know, the summertime and stuff like that, the rest of the year, these, you know, it's gravy or anything like that. Is there, you know, again, in all your years of experience, is there a time that's a little bit less, busy?
Generally, there is. In the fire world, usually during the winter is a little bit less. We still have the same number or a little bit more of the structure fires, but we take the wildland component out of that when we start getting the measurable rains, which greatly reduces that. But then it brings on other issues that we have to deal with too as well, such as auto accidents on the slippery roadways, that sort of thing. Generally, though, during the winter, it does slow down a little bit, although in a state of drought, as we have been for the last several years, as we saw this year. I mean, in January, we had the Palisades fire, so.
Right, yeah.
Just depends on our weather, really.
All right, so, but basically, though, you guys are on your toes 12 months out of the year.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, there's no, I guess you can't just say, well, it's,
there's no slowing down in the public safety world.
Well, that's good for all of us to know. Now, this time of the year, although it's not the quote unquote fire season, it is a, it's a combination of things. You have the festivities of, we'll start with Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas and New Year's, and, you know, people, they brighten up their house, they do this, and they have the folks over and so forth. But there's a lot of things that, I guess, you know, as we were talking to before we came on air, that we, many of us take for granted on just putting up lights and decorating and not really maybe doing the due diligence that we should, because it doesn't really take that much time to do.
Correct.
So, you know, we can start with, you know, some of the, I guess you would say, the obvious fire safety tips, which, again, this is an assumption. We generally think fire safety tips with maybe two things, the trees and the lights.
Yeah, usually that's our basics there, right? So for Christmas tree safety, we're always looking at picking out a nice fresh green tree with needles that don't fall off when you touch them. We want to make sure that we get that cut 2 inches from the base of the trunk before you put it on the stand. And that's crucial to keep the tree hydrated. We have to open the tree's vascular system, get that water up in there to keep it as moist as possible for as long as we can. We want to make sure the tree's not blocking an exit, because if something does happen, that tree is pretty flammable. We don't want that anywhere near us and our exit. We also want to make sure that we're always adding water to the tree stand daily.
That should be done daily, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, even if people feel it and they look in there and they say, well, there's still this much water I can get by, but they should probably tap it off or top it off every day.
Correct, yeah, it should be full.
What about the two things regarding the size of the tree? I'm thinking of, it's going to go half inch from the top of the ceiling, and then it's going to go half inch away from something flammable like a couch.
Right. That's not what we want to see. We want to make sure we have plenty of clearance around the Christmas trees as well. Like I said, they are flammable, and you're putting it inside your house. So we just want to make sure that we're taking care of it, and we have plenty of room around it, including the lights. Make sure that we're putting the proper lights on it, And then after Christmas as well, just make sure that if it is dry, that we get it out of our house as soon as possible. Don't place it outside against the home or anything like that, and make sure that we're using the best way to dispose of it we can. All the local trash and recycling companies usually pick them up the 2 weeks after Christmas. So
also, we have you know, a lot of people for various reasons, they buy artificial trees, but they're not off the hook for potential fires either.
That's correct, because a lot of those have the lights that are built into them.
And now, is there such a thing when you do have an artificial tree, again, is there such a thing as fire resistant?
Usually, if you're buying one of the artificial trees, you just want to make sure, just like lights, you want to make sure that you're buying something that's been tested from UL. It's got the UL sticker on there, so we know that the lights are safe. It didn't come from overseas somewhere where it hasn't been tested, and that there's where we could run into some problems.
Can you overload on the tree with the lights that, you know, can cause an issue?
Yes. Using the older lights, for sure. The new LED lights, usually they use such a low energy consumption that you can usually attach several of those strings together safely. And you want to check on the box and make sure that you're following those orders. Usually they tell you how many strings that you can connect together.
What about connecting, and probably some people do this, connecting the old lights with the new lights? Is that a no-no?
Generally don't want to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you can afford it, it's best to start buying, get up to date with the new LED lights, just because they're brighter, there's more options with them, and they use a very low wattage, and they're safer generally.
I think some people out there, when we think of the old Christmas lights, we think of the ones that are probably, well, this is radio, you can't see it, but maybe about an inch or so, and they're a little, you know, they were just bigger lights. And again, some of us can remember going up and touching them, and they were a little, I wouldn't say hot like a stove, but they were hot.
Yeah, they burn your fingers.
Yeah, sure. You get a little there, and okay, so mom and dad said don't touch it, and that's the reason why.
Yeah, another nice thing about the LEDs, you can get bulbs that big again, like the C9s, the larger bulbs, and they don't produce the heat that the old bulbs do.
Now, there are some string of lights, and I don't know why this happens. Again, this is personal experience, that one light would be out, and in some cases, again, maybe it's the manufacturer or the quality of the strings you buy, but the rest of them would come on, as opposed to maybe it was the older ones where one light, and then one would go out, and then the whole thing would go out. So if you have a situation where one goes out, but it stays on, is there a fire risk there?
Usually that's by design. So they run multiple circuits through the wires, allowing... if one bulb goes out, the old ones used to all go out, and then they switched over to using a multi-circuit design where if one bulb went out, you'd lose maybe half the string. And then most of the ones that you buy nowadays with the LED, like I said, if one burns out, usually it's the way it's designed is that the rest of them are all still lit up.
Now, I don't know if anybody does this, but just, again, for their knowledge and safety, if somebody buys the, they used to be somewhat popular, probably back in the 60s and 70s, it was the, I'll call them the metallic or the aluminum trees, and the recommendation, I believe, is you don't put lights on those.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Okay, just in case somebody still may have one out there, or they get a little nostalgic, go into the basement and see and say, hey, Grandma used to have this. You could put it up, but you're not, remember, don't put lights on it. You just decorate it with the tinsel and all those other kind of things. And, you know, one of the things, I noticed this in the last couple of years, that candles, and I'm not talking about the candles that you turn on like a light switch, that candles have come back in style at many people's homes and so forth, because many people like the fragrance on these scented candles now, and they're beautiful, but they can be extremely dangerous.
Correct. Absolutely. You just have to remember that candles, when you light them, I mean, that's an open flame, right? So anything that touches it or comes near it could ignite. So some of the things we talk about candle safety is just to make sure that we blow them out before we leave the room or go to bed. We want to make sure that we have at least 1 foot away from them of anything that can burn. We want to use candle holders that are sturdy so they won't tip over, and make sure they're on a uncluttered surface. And then one of the other things to think about is never use a candle if oxygen is being used in the home, if someone's on oxygen. And we always suggest that people use flashlights and have battery-powered lighting ready to use in a power outage and not use candles. They also make, nowadays, they make these flameless candles that you can use in your home, and they actually look and smell like real candles. Hmm. So they're good to use.
Okay, yeah, and that's, and then also when, you know, if you are using the traditional candles and so forth, before you go to bed, and again, I'm just guessing that suggestion is don't do it 2 minutes before you go to bed. Blow them out, and then maybe come back and take a look and make sure that everything is good.
Yeah, make sure they're not smoking and that they didn't burn down and possibly ignite something else near them. And this is a good to talk about right now, too, because December is actually the peak month for home candle fires nationwide. So,
well, you're combining Thanksgiving with Christmas. Correct. And people, not generally, people are going to keep all those things out throughout the duration. You know, you're talking a month, maybe 5 weeks, when, because a lot of people, New Year's Day would be the cutoff, and they're still having some people come in and so forth. So, and they want to make the house look nice and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So,
sure.
In your experience, is there a particular maybe item or something that people seem to forget that can cause a hazard that most people don't think of? Regarding, we'll talk about the decorating part. Is there something that we tend to miss?
Just kind of like I said with the candles, people use a lot of decorations around the holidays, like you said, and we just want to make sure that we're not putting decorations or those types of things above candles or anywhere near the open flame. And just make sure that you have clearance around those types of things.
Well, speaking of open flames, there's, you know, it's, again, Christmas, Thanksgiving, the family's over, and everybody's, you know, sitting around and whatever, and boy, it's very cozy, and it brings warmth to the home is when you have a fire burning, fireplace. And again, that could be an issue if people don't do their due diligence. And even if they say, well, I only use it once a year, it's probably best to, you know, double check it a couple of times before you start firing up and, you know, watching it.
Absolutely. And it's, we always suggest too that people have their chimneys clean, swept, check your flue, make sure all the air dampeners, everything's in good working order, and that you have clearance around your fireplace or wood burning stove as well.
And also probably best to get a screen.
Correct.
Keep it from jumping in. Let me see here. I can't give away too many secrets, but people should not, when they're done with their wrapping paper, open up their gifts, they should not throw that paper in the fireplace.
No, absolutely not. No, we don't want to do that, yeah.
Because some of that, I mean, we think of it, well, it's just paper, but people, you know, festivities and so forth and so on, that they that could be an issue as well.
Correct, and those embers from paper will carry all the way out of your chimney. So,
and again, what people, and again, there's so many assumptions, but you experience things that you would rather not experience. But consider perhaps the age of people in your home, not just young, but also older as well, on when you're having the decorations.
Correct. And with the candles, another good thing to think about is just watch the children that are in the home. We don't want to leave a child in a room with a candle by themselves either. Curiosity is always something with kids.
Oh, yeah. We don't want them to learn the hard way.
No.
We'll be right back. We're talking with Administrative Fire Captain from the City of Paso Robles, Ross Porter. You're listening to Sound Off.
Welcome to the Line on Agriculture Report. This is Lori Boyer for the Ag Information Network. Recent comments from the Trump administration about the beef industry and its goal to lower consumer beef prices have had a major impact on the cattle markets. RCAF United Stock Growers of America CEO Bill Bullard explains the market's reaction.
But what that indicated to us, what was a clear indication, was that the marketplace is broken because the market responded in a very wild fashion just upon the announcement of the president. And it tells us that our market system is entirely broken, that the market is too thin. When a market reacts simply to statements and rumors, as our market does, it's an indication of market failure in the industry.
The recent events of comments have proved the volatility of the market.
We saw that first, the markets collapsed after that announcement. And then the Secretary of Agriculture talked about the plans on the New World screwworm, and that sent the market reeling again. And a market shouldn't do that. A robust market wouldn't do that. But an ultra-thin market like we have in our cattle industry today is one that is highly sensitive to any adverse information, and it overreacts.
Bullard says they also want the operations of the CME and feeder cattle contracts investigated to determine whether market manipulation is allowing large corporations to profit from a system meant to help producers manage risk.
For over 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been providing news and information for the most important industry in the world, agriculture. The Ag Information Network gives you worldwide updates from local producers to regional organizations, from major crops like wheat and corn to animal agriculture to specialty crops like apples, almonds, and cherries. We report on stories that mean the most to you. Online at aginfo.net, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism lasting for the next generation. For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
For the Ag Information Network, I'm Lori Boyer.
Hi, this is Mark with Paso Pool & Spa. We are a locally owned company in the Albertson Shopping Center in Paso Robles. We know pools. Whether you need chemicals, supplies, or a service call, we are here for you. We have the knowledge to get your pool and spa in shape for pure water enjoyment. We stock the supplies you need. Stop in at Paso Pool & Spa Supply. We're in the corner by the UPS store in Paso Robles. Thank you for supporting Paso Pool & Spa.
Welcome back to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will with our special guest, Administrative Fire Captain from the City of Paso Robles, Ross Porter. Ross, there's something we've gone over the, I guess you would say the basics, is, you know, the house and the candles and the tree and some other things, but there's something that's very important and it's becoming more of an issue, not only around the holidays, but in general, if you'd let the folks know about this.
Yeah, so this year nationwide, there's a big push in the fire service to get the message out for lithium-ion battery safety. Lithium-ion batteries are obviously power supply many kinds of devices, including smartphones, laptops, e-scooters, e-bikes, even e-cigarettes, smoke alarms, toys, even cars. If they're not used correctly or if they're damaged, these batteries can catch fire or explode. And they've created a lot of problems nationwide. And we're starting to see issues with them even locally. We've had multiple batteries that have caught on fire, that sort of thing. The biggest problem with them is that they're a small battery that stores a large amount of energy in a small space. So like any product, small number of these batteries are defective. They can overheat, catch fire, or explode. Some of the things we want to talk to people about and get the message out is to make sure that we're purchasing using devices that are listed by qualified testing laboratories, like I said before, UL listed. We only use the charging cord that come with the device. Another thing to think about is like with your cell phones, we don't want to charge the device under your pillow or on your bed or on a couch where it can insulate it and create more heat for that device and actually overheat it. We don't want to keep charging device or device battery after it's fully charged, keep charging it. We want to unplug it after it's fully charged. And then also we want to store them away from anything that can catch on fire as well. Because if we do have a fire and it affects those batteries will ignite and put off a lot of fire and smoke.
Well, one of the things too is that people have, some people have a tendency to, when they're charging these things, they may do it at night when they go to bed and feel safe because, well, I have everything that's manufactured, it says it's good, but it's still not the best thing to do is to leave it in overnight while you're sleeping for 8 hours.
Yes, there's like I said, we want to charge them till where they're 100%, and then take them off the charger. Some of the signs that you'll see if there is a problem is you'll notice the battery has an odor or a change in color. It can be too much heat or get hot. It can change shape, or it can leak, or actually make odd noises if it starts off gassing. It'll sound like a whistle. So if that happens, and if it's safe to do so, you want to move the device away from anything that can catch fire and call 911.
Right, because the you know, when you were explaining the how quickly these things, when they do catch fire, the damage, it spreads, and then there's also the fumes from them.
Correct. There's some really bad things that come off of these in the hazmat world. We have a gas that comes off of it. Anything that burns has multiple bad gases in it, but these batteries produce hydrogen fluoride gas, which is extremely toxic to humans. It also, when it does ignite and catch fire, it also spews molten metal, such as cobalt, and it'll actually throw metal pretty far from the battery. So we had an incident here in town 2 weeks ago. It was a landscape company and had a backpack blower battery that actually caught on fire while they were using it, and they unplugged it, threw it out in the middle of the street, and from that little, I would say 9-inch by 9-inch battery, that thing was throwing molten metal approximately 15, 20 feet.
Whoa. All right. Well, again, folks, read all the instructions and be careful with it. And then also something that people will be, maybe some people will be doing a little bit this time of the year, and that's cooking.
Correct. And one last thing on the lithium ion batteries. We want to make sure if you have any sort of mobility devices like an e-bike, e-scooter, or even other mobility devices, we want to make sure that we're not charging those between us and our exit. Some people will charge devices like this near the door, near the front door, near the garage door. We want to make sure that we have an exit out. When these devices do fail and off gas, they ignite and create a very large fire within seconds. And we've seen in New York City, we've lost several people in New York City in apartments that have charged these devices to get around the city. And they caught fire in the middle of the night and cut off the egress to the residents. And unfortunately, they perished in the fire. So we're trying to get the word out nationwide from the fireside.
Yeah, and regarding cooking, we've got about a minute and a half left here. Is that people tend to get maybe distracted talking and so forth when they're in the kitchen?
Yes, if we're cooking, we want to make sure for cooking safety, we want to make sure that we're there and we're in the kitchen and watching the pots and not walking out of the kitchen and leaving them on their own. We want to make sure with the kids in the house, we need 3 feet around the stove where they're not to be because of the heat. And then also remember that if anything does catch fire on the stove, we want to make sure that we're not using water to extinguish that fire. We're going to do what we call as the slide and glide. We keep a lid next to the pot. Anything that you're cooking, you should always have a lid available, readily handy. And we put it against the side of the pot and glide it up and then over the top. What happens is if we take a lid and put it over the top, with the fire coming out of the pot, we'll burn our arm. So we put it against the side and slide it up and then rotate it right over the top to extinguish that.
Alrighty. And, you know, other things to consider, too, is, folks, when you're using space heaters or floor heaters and so forth, make sure there's room where nothing can catch on fire.
Correct. Clearance around space heaters. And also clearance around the stove, too. We have oven mitts, wooden utensils. Keep the stove clear because cooking is the leading cause of fires nationwide is from unintended cooking.
So. Whoa. Well, inside and out?
Just in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Ross, thank you very much for coming in, and thanks for all you do and the whole crew in Paso Robles for the citizens of Paso Robles.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin, for having me on.
All right. Okay, folks, Susanna's coming up next, and enjoy the remainder of your afternoon, and thank you for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.